You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And oh my goodness, Jimmy Butler's shoes were so cool last night. The camo, the Jordan camo retros. Oh my goodness.
I love how this is the first thing you bring up in this podcast.
That was fire, though. That was so cool.
The article was out, right? Where he's in the woods. He's in Lake Independence. By the way, you were just on Wolves Wired, crashed it.
Oh, definitely.
Crash the podcast.
This is Colt Molesky, by the way. I'm in studio with Tom Schreier. We should probably get that out of the way as well.
People know you by now. You've been hosting Lockdown for a little while.
I just like to hear my own name, honestly.
Yeah, I always cringe just a little bit, because I know that name is associated with gambling on Japanese basketball,
and that obviously
that worries me. We established you are in the Paradise Papers.
Yep.
For harboring money overseas, not paying your taxes, and
definitely.
Yeah, that's why our roads suck.
100%. MSU, please keep me on as a student. Please let me finish it out.
I go out to blaze of glory. Secondly, we established Jimmy Butler was on Lake Independence, making. He's in kind of that Delano Maple Plain. Are you familiar with that? There's a lot of KQ people out there. Independent. I've been out to Independence, Maple Plain, Delano. Getting way out to Buffalo, where the great Bob Stansbury resides with his 70 horses.
There's a great paintball course out there.
Really?
Yeah. Just a really
That makes
good
sense.
One.
I mean, there's a lot of like room.
One of those ones where you come on the boat and then like half the team is on the boat and the other side is in trenches.
What?
Yeah, it's really cool.
On a lake?
It's on a D-Day. It's like a D-Day course where you come in on a boat and the other team's in trenches and you have to attack the beach.
Which one are you... better? Are you better at defense or better at coming off the boat?
I always wear short shorts and a tank top when I go paintballing. So I just go.
What?
I just run in, and I'm sure this is what people want to hear on a basketball podcast.
Of course, I can tie this to basketball. Wait,
I just run wherever I go on paintball. So if I'm just coming off the boat, I just take the track stance. I strap the gun to the back, just take the track stance, and I've just got just the minimal amount of clothing, and I just sprint off. And I usually I'm diving into bunkers, and
is this
I'm
how
like
you met your wife?
Grabbing.
She's like, yeah, oh, yeah.
It was the film afterwards. I was actually
yeah. You're breaking it down
exactly.
So you basically have speed and can take damage.
Yeah.
Hmm. Did you hear that interview where LeBron talks, I know I'm tying this back to basketball, where he talks about how he wore short shorts and the spandex because Jordan did?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't remember who he's talking to, but I was thinking about this. So I wonder, LeBron can take damage, but I wonder if he's more like a, you know, hand-to-hand combat guy. You know, I don't know if he's a great shot.
I wouldn't want to get into, like, in the middle of a paintball game.
You get trucked.
Just have LeBron try and punch me.
Were you a Halo player?
Me? No. I was always like Madden, 2K, Call
Makes
of Duty.
Sense. Call of Duty, were you like sniper, shotgun? Physical combat in that game, hand to hand?
I like the close range. I like getting up close and personal. Much like with the paintball.
Yeah. So that's LeBron's game. LeBron, I feel like
I can see that.
I don't know if he's a great shot, but just gets out there, gets physical, trucks people.
Jamal Crawford, sniper all the way.
Yeah, for sure.
100%.
Wiggins is assassin. He'll like get right behind you, just execution
Wiggins
style.
Just has the knife between the teeth and
yeah,
he's just
for
belly
sure,
crawling.
Dude. For sure. Butler's physical.
Butler's super physical.
Yeah, he gets in your face.
It's just a riot shield.
Towns is an interesting one.
Towns is more of a finesse than you would think.
More finesse than you think. Can kind of like get around barriers, you know, kind of weasel his way around. Teague's got to figure out if he shoots or tosses his gun to someone. I don't know.
Teague just doesn't have a weapon. He just runs. Yeah. They're just like, all right, what do we take?
Lays
oh, he's gone.
Yeah, interesting. I don't know. Somehow, I think the tie was that Jimmy Butler fell into Lake Independence.
Yeah.
Because he couldn't get
that
out of a canoe.
He was in the canoe. And the guy gets out of the front of the canoe, and he sits there for a second, and then he topples over into the water.
This is totally, and it's not entirely untrue. There's people. Did you grow up hunting, fishing, any of that stuff?
Both.
Okay, you're from St. Cloud, right?
I'm actually from the cities.
I finished
high school in St. Cloud.
That's right.
But I've done plenty of canoeing at my grandparents. They live in Crosby, so I've been up in Crosby.
Where's Crosby?
By Brainerd.
Okay, makes sense. So, cabin country. Yeah.
So lots of, I've been in a canoe tons of times, kayaks, stuff like that.
So I fished, never hunted. Fished a lot because I grew up on a lake, or at least spent some of my childhood on a lake. And yeah, I mean, people go to cabins, but this is totally how ESPN would think, just like Minnesotans are. Jimmy Butler, by the way.
They assume that we're all like reading and watching this video in a canoe.
Yeah, like we were out doing a podcast, like, yeah, out in Brainerd or whatever.
Yeah, we're in a lake
now. I mean, it's where he lives, and it doesn't surprise me. We had Lee Jenkins on Wolves Wired. We're doing some cross promotion here. That's what happens when you crash our podcast. It was neatly 28 minutes, and then you come in for another 17.
I don't think it's the same, though, because my podcast was trashed the entire time I was on Wolves Wired.
They do not get happy. Like this, first of all, really high level basketball intelligence, right? They don't like a take, though. They'll take you out of the woodshed. Anyways, my bigger point with this is ESPN. Keep in mind, like, people who like live in the city may not do this, right? It's just like if you grew up in Denver, you don't necessarily ski or whatever.
Yeah.
But I mean, it is interesting that I'm sure they figured out where he lived, and they're like, "Oh, there's a lake nearby. Was it weird to you that he's just like kind of randomly at various points, like either around the fire or when they're rowing or whatever, being like, so what do you think about the young Wolves?" And I'm sure he's trying to get something different. I mean, that's what we were trying to do with Crawford, right? We were trying to have the kind of this roundtable discussion where he's, you know, just kind of sitting down, kind of more of a chat rather than like a interrogation.
Yeah, but it makes more sense when you're around in a studio, sitting around with guys, and you're having a basketball talk. It's weirder when you're in a canoe and you're camping, and that seems more like a time where you figure out who Jimmy Butler is, like the guy off the court.
Yeah.
And instead,
Jenkins did in SI, you know.
Yeah. So
before.
He did that, but it's just weird that it was like camping and canoeing, and we're gonna have this really personal time, and then every once in a while, so what do you think of the new team that you're gonna be on? We figured out when it was right before preseason is when they did
article. I can't remember the guy's name, but he put it in the article. But it was right before preseason. It was interesting. They talked about Golden State release right before Golden State. It's one of those things I think people here are going to be like, this seems weird. And people elsewhere when I was in California, people were like, "Oh, did you grow up in like a log cabin?" I'm like, no, like a brick house, you know, like does not look much different than one in California. But, it was definitely catered to the national crowd. Although this team, and granted, started 7-3, lose last night, 125-101. You stayed. I'm assuming you stayed up and stayed up for another 2 or 3 hours, right?
Oh,
gambling
definitely.
On Japanese basketball. I tried to go to bed right after, and it was. I mean, the last half of that. The first half was fun. The first half I actually saw. We recorded the football machine, and I watched. Most of those guys are pretty big Wolves fans, and some of the fans came out to Blue Door right around the corner here by the Cumulus Studios and the Como neighborhood, and we watched it, and I thought it was played them pretty close, right? And then go ahead.
The biggest problem for me, just right off the bat, if you're looking at just the box score, the biggest problem right away, 20% from three. They were 5 for 24 from three. And you obviously don't want to get into the style of play where you're trying to run with the Warriors, but at the same time, you do have to hit threes from time to time just to hang with them, just because they're going to have their runs.
Because once the run happened in the third quarter, and everyone assumes the implication, when I just bring up the third quarter, I just see it all the time. One thing Steve Clifford, who's the Hornets coach, said, and it kind of stuck with me last year, was that his teams tended to start slow, I think, and then play well in the second half. And I don't know if you agree with me on this. I think they have really good players. Like, it's a solid team. It's not championship caliber by any means. And I think he's a good coach. Like, you can just tell these guys who's smart and who's not kind of by talking to them. And, you know, he said it's almost easier just in the second half if you don't have the lead. The Wolves didn't have the lead, right? It was 51-50 going in. But they had hung with them. And I think it's a little hard when Steve Kerr probably has a Swiss Army knife, right? And the Wolves are trying to get there. But whatever they did, all of a sudden they just gorged them, right? And then you go, they're not coming back. The Wolves can't, like, it's not even trade barbs with them. They just can't, you know, close the deficit quick enough, basically, to be competitive in the fourth.
Well, and every team is different, right? So the way you prepare for every team is a little different. The way I think you got to prepare the best for the Warriors is you just got to try and slow the game down as much as possible in preparation for that 1 to 2 times a game where they have 18 points in like 2 minutes,
yeah.
you know, and they just go crazy. And all of a sudden Curry's launching threes when two people are on that side of the court. And it's just all this transition mess. And it's just a crazy 2 minutes. And then you're down by 18 points. You've got to try and control the rest of the game around those, because those are just going to happen regardless.
Yeah.
And I thought the Wolves did a good job hanging with them, but they weren't prepared when they went on, what was it, an 18-0, 18-1 run in the third quarter.
And most teams would not be.
Most teams aren't. And that's the thing is, so now coming out of it, I don't want people to hit the panic button, right? I think you'd agree with me on this one. You don't want to come out of this game and say, oh, well, they got blown out by the Warriors, so now they're not going to make the playoffs. No, you just know that's the best team, and now this is how they measure up. So when I'm coming out of this game, it doesn't look like you can beat the Warriors in a 7-game series, but we knew that going into the season.
Yeah, I think I've said this before. I think being a 50-win team is a success. Obviously, if you go 51-31, you literally just reverse the record, right? You took the
making
win.
The playoffs in general, even if it's only 48 wins.
Yeah,
making the playoffs in general is a huge success for this team. And now you just know that if they play the Rockets or the Warriors in the first round, they probably get swept. Honestly, they might get swept is a very real possibility, and that's okay though, because you're still in the playoffs.
Yeah,
and so I read some things that people were writing about the Timberwolves and how they looked against the Warriors, and just ripping it as one game instead of looking at how they looked going into the Warriors game, and then that this was a 5-game winning streak.
How did they look? I'm sure you've told your audience, but
they look like they're winning the games as a team, and that they can't have one guy score 30 points because that means a bunch of guys aren't contributing. But at the same time, they've got to have everybody score about 20. And when I say everybody, I mean like Teague, Wiggins, Towns, Butler. They all have to have them around 20. I know Pelicans game, Towns only had 2, but they had a really good bench performance there. They're not going to get that every time. Around every one of their main guys has to score about 20, and it has to be a team win. It can't be one or two guys really going off. Like for Boston, like Kyrie Irving, if he goes off and just controls the game in the fourth quarter, they're going to win most of those games.
Yeah, it's what Jamal Crawford said. He said, we don't want people to know what's going to hit them in the fourth, right? Who's going to kind of go off. I think it's a good sign. For example, the Pelicans game, where you don't really have a great solution for Cousins, and Towns gets in foul trouble early and scores 2 points. I think it's a good sign that you won. I also think that Dallas game, Dallas is really bad, but like, it's fine when Butler has 4 points if he has assists and he plays well defensively. So it's a good sign that you don't need all those guys going off. But you're right. Against how many teams are you going to throw in there? You're going to throw the Rockets?
I would say
Golden State.
Rockets and Golden State are the only ones. I think you can win a game against San Antonio. You can win at least one game against San Antonio.
With one of those guys not playing well. Or you're just saying generally?
Just general. In general.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You're not going to get swept by a San Antonio. I think the two teams that the Wolves really just don't have the firepower or haven't grown enough as a team yet to hang with are the Warriors and the Rockets, and that's okay.
Yeah. So anyways, I mean, I think the broader point there is everyone's got to be at their best. I mean, this is not a surprise, but where against the rest of the league, you really can have off nights from players, and this team can carry it.
Well, that's the thing too, is that if everybody was at their best in that game, do you still think they win, even with Kevin Durant out?
No,
I don't. 125 points.
Yeah, I don't think it's. I think if the Wolves are at their best, because you're considering better perimeter defense, maybe forcing more turnovers in the second half, but not allowing such a massive run, I think it looks more like a 110. 105 game or something like that.
Oh yeah, it would be a lot closer. If their perimeter defense is better, you just throw Draymond Green at the point guard, and you have Curry and Klay Thompson now just sitting in the corners waiting for buckets when Draymond Green drives and kicks it out. So it's just a ridiculous team to try and defend.
Yeah.
Going forward now, I think the next few wins are important just to bounce back. Especially against a bad Phoenix team, I think they'll win that one pretty easily. But it's the same game plan. You can't go into this one thinking, oh well, we have to jack up a bunch of threes because this team is I believe they're 12th in scoring in the NBA, and now we have to score with them. Nope, same strategy. Just slog the game down to a really slow half court pace because the young guys on that team are not going to want to play like that, and you just slow the pace down really far, and you let Towns do work in the paint against those guys, and you let Jimmy Butler defend Booker and put him in all sorts of fits, and you slow the game down against the Suns, and then you get a solid win.
Yeah, and I think a lot of – there's going to be fun games this year, don't get me wrong, but I think a lot of those wins are actually going to be what I call kind of sucking the oxygen out of the room, right? You just kind of you're choking every team out with your defense. So.
I was listening to the a Ringer NBA show, and they're saying that the Timberwolves are winning games, but they're not any fun to watch, or not all the time they're fun to watch.
And maybe that's fine.
Maybe that I mean, people said that about the Grizzlies when they were going to the playoff year after year.
Yeah, and this is more talented than the Grizz.
This is definitely, you have more all-stars on this team than on the Grizzlies then, and you're winning games. As long as you're winning games, how you're doing it, that's just
the
way you got to do it.
Yeah, the aesthetics don't matter. We already know the storylines because they've come out. Steve Ashburner on NBA.com, we referenced the ESPN one. I'm trying to think. There's just been a glut of writing. You can go to Crawford and Butler being profiled and SI, all this stuff. The Ringer's talking about them and writing about them. The obvious storyline that everyone's pounding to death is, this is what Jimmy Butler does for Wiggins. This is what Taj Gibson does for Towns, building the winning culture in Minnesota. I'm going to ask you to get out that crystal ball, Colt Molesky crystal ball. What is the next storyline for the Wolves?
The next storyline for the Wolves is going to be, why isn't Butler scoring enough?
I like that. I think that's really good.
That's the one that's going to be, because it's going to come out in about beginning December, maybe mid-December at the latest. But he's going to be averaging probably 18 points still.
Yep.
And people are going to kind of tune out the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Warriors and the Thunder and the Rockets for 2 seconds and look to the Wolves team that they've heard so much about again and go, oh my gosh, Butler's not averaging 25 points a night. What's going on here? And then people are going to write up stories about, oh, this is the problem. This is why the Wolves aren't the number four team in the West is because of this. When really, if you watch this team, the best part about having Butler there is that he draws the defense so other people can score. I've been talking about this all year. The way he plays in the offense, but particularly the way he plays offense with Wiggins and the way those two work off each other is so beautiful that it brings tears to my heart. And
your heart cries.
My heart cries. I can't cry because gambling debt, I had to rip out my tear ducts, but I had my heart cries. And so
that wow, biology.
It's very deep. It's very deep. And so I think that's the next storyline, is that people will be upset that he's not scoring more, but that's the way that this offense has to work, is him facilitating more than score.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. And it's why he's here, right? He's supposed to lock down their best player.
Yeah.
And it's good to get everyone else involved. And I think it's really easy to say, hey, you know, Wiggins has really lived up to that contract. I think it's completely fair. I think a big reason why is because Butler is in Minnesota, right?
Yep.
So I think a lot of little things there. We want to keep this to like a 20-minute one, right?
Yeah, we have your segment still.
That's what I was going to ask.
I'm wrong.
I was a little worried. Young Cole Molesky.
I've always got something cooking.
After all his gambling, it slipped his mind.
That's when I ponder, when they're having their 45-minute time.
Ponder everything.
As I ponder, what am I going to ask Tom? And I have some things. So here we go.
Yeah.
Tell me I'm wrong, Tom. Tell me I'm wrong. My first one on Tell Me I'm Wrong is that the Wolves are going to go on another streak of winning this time after the Warriors. People are going to be worried about them. They're going to go on a 4-game winning streak here.
I'm going to
Phoenix Suns.
Yep.
Utah Jazz.
At Phoenix, at Utah.
At Phoenix, at Utah. Although at Phoenix is, that's kind of like a road game for the, are going on the road to the Chargers. I would say
it's funny. I bet a lot of Minnesota transplants there are going to come out of the woodwork.
Yeah. That's one of those games where I feel like it's half a road game.
It is a 9 o'clock start, which I do think matters, the body clock and all that. But
that part matters. The crowd, I think, won't be a factor. The factor will be being there, not having the crowd there. So who's after Utah?
So at Phoenix, at Utah, versus San Antonio, at Dallas. Detroit.
Yeah, but those are four. So Detroit is before the cutoff.
Yeah, okay, so at Dallas.
So you have
Which is dumb. You Phoenix? Should have San Antonio and Dallas at each other, but whatever. Go on.
Yeah.
Piss me off.
You have Phoenix. You should schedule the NBA schedule is basically yeah. what it means.
Sorry,
you have
schedule.
Suns, Jazz, Spurs, and Mavericks. Suns and Mavericks you should beat pretty handily. Utah you can beat. You can play with. And the Spurs really are the big one, especially
in
you
target
don't know,
center.
You know, you don't know if Kawhi is going to be back for that one yet because he's kind of almost week to week.
Yeah. So winning streak.
You always love a parlay where there's only one iffy bet.
Yeah.
And that's the one that raises the value.
Says the man without tear ducts.
only crying from the heart.
I think he beat Phoenix. Utah, we were saying on Wolves Wired, has what was the deal there? They lost three in a row, four in a row, something like that. They're not
Utah?
Doing well.
They yeah. lost four in a row.
Four in a row. I worry a little bit about that being because Ricky Rubio essentially had a revenge game, and Crawford was like, "Nah."
Until he started getting beaten up.
yeah, but you know what I mean, though. But like,
no, he played
for
well.
A while.
Well.
For a while, there was the Ricky Rubio narrative. I do wonder about. I wonder if that's still in play. Right, that's still the engine's still running on that. You rolled your eyes. By the way, I want to make a correction here. You were on with Dane Moore. Dane Moore trying to be the pacifist, saying we don't need to pit.
Oh, I was coming after him.
He's going right after the notorious Rubio hater, Cole Molesky. I think you can win in Utah. I think San Antonio seems less likely. I think it's interesting that it's here. And I'm curious, A, where the crowd sits, because there's a lot of people in Minnesota who probably just went out. I know people who did this, went out to see San Antonio for years, right?
Yeah.
Are those people now in Wolves uniforms, right? Are they behind the home team, or are they still skeptical about the Wolves? And then at Dallas, you would think you should beat them. Is three of four is fine? You know, I think, three of four. I mean, that's...
So you don't think they go on a four-game run?
I don't think they beat San Antonio.
Because I think the Pistons could be a real problem. Because I don't... Even with Butler there, I don't see any of the problems they had against the Pistons not be a problem.
Pistons, what, are Pistons 7-3 right now?
No, I think they're 8. I'm pretty sure they're 8-3.
Yeah,
8-3.
I kind of look at that as, first of all, it may. This
look
sounds,
at that as Colton being a winner in the stock market.
Yeah, Colton Molesky buying in on the old Pistons stock. First of all, it's interesting only because, we're learning kind of what Butler's value is in some sense, but also. Detroit has this new stadium. They're trying to make believers out of their fans again.
By the way, Detroit 8-3. Just looked it up.
Yeah, beat the Pacers to get to 8-3. Yeah, a lot of interesting stuff. I see 3-4. I think you can't overlook Phoenix, but you just need to have this kind of bounce back game, get back on track, show people, hey, we just got beat, but we're not down in the dumps on ourselves, after that loss. Do you have any other questions?
I do. I have one more.
Ooh, I love
because
this.
I saw it on. I had NBA actually bring this up to me. The NBA app. Tell me
the
I'm
NBA,
wrong.
The NBA, the league. Like Adam Silver came up to you and was like, "Ask this question."
I have these conversations.
I love
Anyways,
it.
Tell me I'm wrong. Kyrie Irving is officially on the market as an MVP candidate.
Let me look up Boston's record here. I did.
They are at 10 wins now.
10 wins, and we're talking about a Boston Celtics team. Without Mr. Gordon Hayward.
Now, because here's the storyline. If they can keep winning, Kyrie Irving, first of all, the first storyline is he wants his own team, so he gets his own team. There's a bunch of young guys under him, but he has Gordon Hayward and Al Horford. Gordon Hayward goes down. For a week, everybody writes them off because they start 0-2, and they write them off. They're done. They can't recover from the Hayward injury. Now, not only are they winning close games, Kyrie Irving is the one winning them close games, pulls them back from a 20-point deficit to the Thunder. Now, if you can go in and get even a top four spot, not even like a top two spot in the playoffs, without Gordon Hayward, one of your major signings from the summer, with young guys like Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, Jason Tatum on the roster, Kyrie Irving has to be one of those top three guys in the MVP discussion.
So just for reference here, lost to Cleveland. At Cleveland, the first game, most people know that.
When your guy broke his ankle,
I know,
just shattered.
Right. Giannis goes off for 37. They lose to Milwaukee.
What did you just call him?
Did I call it Giannis?
Giannis?
Is that wrong?
It's Giannis.
Giannis. Oops. I'm tired, man. That's what a late game does to you. It is definitely Giannis, though. Anyways, they go on this 10-game win streak. MVP. And you're talking, you think Washington might finish with the best record?
They really might. I mean,
and then Boston?
I'm thinking Boston has a real shot at third, number three or number four. Toronto looks funky.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if in January there was like a story like DeRozan doesn't want to be on the team or like Kyle Lowry hasn't shown up for a meeting in like three days or something. Something weird. Like something's off on that team. Just every time they come out of a timeout and they're just like turning over the ball or when they're in close games and they just can't seem to get on the same page and there's just something's funky about that team.
Okay, so you, he's in the conversation. I'm not.
Conversation, not winner, just conversation.
Because you go back to it's probably LeBron, right, or something like that, you know, or someone from Golden State. But yeah, he's part of the conversation.
I like it. Alrighty, that's it for me. Do we have anything to plug? Go check out Mitch's recap on zone coverage of the Warriors game.
Yeah, and then Dane and Tim and I had a brief thing on them closing out games. Definitely listen to your podcast every week.
One more time, let's plug the Jamal Crawford interview. Too.
Jamal Crawford interview. Listen to it.
That was really good.
It was fun. It was a good time.
Alrighty, that's it for me then. You got anything?
I got nothing. I'm done.
He's done. He needs to go to bed, folks.
I do need to go to bed.
Alrighty. Well, thank you, Tom. This has been another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.